Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to you and me. He loves us, and underneath are his everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today about a holy harmony. I read six steps in seeking this holy harmony in our lives, and I'd like for us to think about ways to apply those principles today. The first one, we need a vision of God's holiness. Only God, of course, can open our eyes to his holiness. But what can you and I do about it? We can want it. We can tell the Lord we want it. Jesus said, "You do not have because you do not ask." So we can ask him. One of my favorite hymns is, "Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole." Ask the Lord to teach you. Secondly, acknowledge our helplessness. Now, the first sin of Adam and Eve was imagining that they didn't need any help. They were independent. It was a declaration of independence. "We can do it," they said. "We can do it better our way." "My will be done" was the motto of their lives versus "Thy will be done," which is the motto of a holy life. Mary exhibited the desire for holiness when she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Humility is simply the straight truth, a sane estimate of what we are. No inflated ideas of our own importance. An empty cup. We are, without God, helpless. You know, we couldn't even take another breath if it weren't for him. There wouldn't be the law of gravity to keep our feet on the floor and the books on the table. We wouldn't have a thing to eat on our tables. We wouldn't have eyesight. What would we have? Well, there would be nothing, of course, nothing. So we are dependent upon him, and we can acknowledge that dependence and say with the hymn writer, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Or, "Just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come." Helpless to save myself from sin. Helpless to do the will of God without his help. Helpless to make myself holy, or to love God, or even to love my husband or my neighbor. And yet, let's never be discouraged by that sense of helplessness. This is the thing that qualifies us to come to God for his help, and he has promised to be our helper and our refuge. The third thing, asking for terms, what does this mean? It means opening ourselves to God's grace, to the Spirit's deep work in our hearts and lives. I am the clay and he is the potter. This is a willed cooperation, a voluntary putting myself at his disposal. And it's not the same as quietism or pietism, two sort of aberrations from the true spiritual life, according to the scriptures. It is a living and active receiving of Christ, not just sitting around and doing absolutely nothing. God has given us the privilege of willing to receive him and opening our hands and offering ourselves to him and saying, "Yes, Lord," rather than "No, Lord." Identifying ourselves with him daily and bearing the cross that he offers to us. Whatever form of death we have to die daily, it comes from his loving hand, and it gives us a share in fellowship with him and in his sufferings. Then, number four was letting go of what our human nature clings to. We renounce the right to ourselves. Not easy for any of us. Self-denial, self-emptying, self-forgetfulness, relinquishment. And I can suppose that somebody might be saying, oh, that Elizabeth Elliot, she's forever talking about self-denial and self-emptying and self-forgetfulness. It's so morbid. It's so boring. It's so sad. The only reason that I emphasize it is because the Bible emphasizes it as the prerequisite for finding freedom and joy in Christ. There's nothing more destructive to our well-being or even to our physical health than bitterness and resentment and long-cherished wounds. The right to be me, the right to do what feels good, to be comfortable, we can let go of that and find such freedom. The right to be right. There's one that hits me between the eyes. I want to cling to my right to be right. My right to be thanked. My right to vindication. I was falsely accused this week. There was an outrageous rumor that I heard about that was going around about me. I would love to just get up and vindicate myself. There isn't any way I can do that. We can't stop rumors once they've started. But I can leave it with God. I can let go of what my human nature clings to. And then there's a subtle form of sin in our desire to serve God the way we want to serve Him. That's a mistake, isn't it? If we want to serve God, we put ourselves at His disposal. We just simply say, Lord, here I am. What would you like me to do? My greed for possessions, for prestige, for position, for power. Am I ringing any bells out there? Anyone listening to me who's clinging with white knuckles to possessions, prestige, position? Or maybe you don't have any power yet, but you sure are hoping you're going to get some. You're grabbing for it. You're reading all the articles about how to get power. My longing for fulfillment in the world's terms. Let go of that. My freedom to do my thing. How about doing God's thing? My fears, the loss of my youth, my beauty, my health, my home, my loved ones, my money, and again, perhaps my prestige, my power, my possessions. We might lose those things. Are we afraid of what will happen? Once we've let go, then the next step is acceptance of what God wants to give us. Thankfully, instantly, yes, Lord. Acceptance of the context in which I am to learn holiness. Is it taking care of an older parent or even an older neighbor who's very difficult to get along with? Surely that's a fine context in which to learn holiness. Acceptance of the cross, in whatever form it is given to me. Weakness, loss of memory, giving up of my preferences, accepting someone else's decision that doesn't happen to fit my expectations. A small cross, but nevertheless, it crosses my will, doesn't it? And so it's a cross, a real one, to be accepted. Setbacks. Losing stuff in my computer. Oh, how I hate that. How my spirit rebels if I've lost something that I've worked over. The stupidity of having failed to back up my material. Why did I forget that? Why did I type away for 35 minutes without once backing up? And then that interruption came, and I lost it. Missed airplanes. Ever had that one? You get come puffing into the terminal and you quickly look at the monitor and you look at flight 347 and it says canceled. Interrupted plans. Disappointments. Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with firm conviction that your will covers all. That's acceptance. And then exchange. The principle of making all my life an offering, my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, then making the sacrifice of thanksgiving, singing, praising God, using hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. What did you pray for? Help? And did he give it to you? Thank him for it. Guidance? Did he give it to you? Thank him for it. His protection in a given situation? Thank him. Love, proved by my obedience and faith. That's the principle of exchange. I give up my right to myself. I obey my Heavenly Father or those whom God has put over me, and I act in love toward them. That's obedience. That's faith. The sacrifice of faith. I give up my doubts. I pledge to trust in Him. Billy Graham tells how for some years he had doubts about God's Word. And one day he went out in the woods with his Bible and he got down on his knees by a stump. And he told the Lord that never again would he doubt the truth of his word. And he has kept that promise. And because of that, has been able to preach to countless millions and millions of people in this century. A man who trusts God's word and refuses the doubts that Satan would plant in his mind. My work. Each task is transfigured as it becomes material for sacrifice. That's the principle of exchange. It will give a holy harmony in the life of each of us who wants it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.